Hello, everyone, and welcome to part two of a two-part Connect with Experts Connection Point podcast. I'm your host, James Hilliard. Today, joined by Todd Mallett, a server, storage, and virtualization specialist for the PC Connection family of companies. And for this second segment of this two-part feature, we're switching gears a little bit, slightly moving away from our look at the big picture, which we did in part one, around secure cloud deployments, and we're going to focus more on the how your organization can create their own private cloud and manage virtualized data center architecture. And Todd, really appreciate you joining me today.
Ron, thank you.
You and I have talked before, earlier conversations. You've given me, you've given listeners an insight into the Cisco Unified Computing System. Really, the fact that it breaks away from the traditional model of that older data center, really redefining data center infrastructure as a pool of these virtualized, you know, server and storage and network resources. Folks can hear that information other places. What I want to do for the purposes of this conversation is get into some of the how. We've talked about what the unified computing system does. How does it accomplish going from that older data center model to the newer one of today?
So I get asked that a lot, actually. I mean, the legacy data center is so well known, and it's almost become a de facto standard for everybody. So thinking about what Cisco's done has become kind of hard because it is somewhat radical. The easiest way for me to provide something of an analogy to this is Cisco's doing at the hardware layer with our servers what VMware did for our actual applications. So VMware took applications from a physical attribute, which would be a server, and they containerized it into a portable form. Cisco's done the exact same thing with hardware layers, and they've taken these physical blade servers or physical rack servers, and they've put them under a consolidated single pane of view or a single pane of glass management console and allowed us to make them portable. So there's no longer any personal identifiers to the hardware in Cisco UCS. It's actually defined pools that we're allowed to set up as the end user, as the IT organization, and create pools for MAC addresses, let's say, or pools for BIOS configurations. And any individual setting that we want to configure, we're in full control of it. So it gets rid of that Excel file that most of us have to keep with IP addresses and MAC addresses and worldwide names. And everything that in a legacy environment is attached to a physical entity right as it comes out of the cardboard box when you order it, now I get to virtualize that. So obviously the integration is there between virtualizing and using Cisco UCS for any form of cloud, be it public or private. They certainly go hand in hand because they follow the same basic religion, if you will, in this should be a container. I shouldn't have to have a physical attribute to this because at the end of the day, a server is made to compute. So let's let it compute. But let's let all of the other physicality belong to the person setting it up, not to the device.
I think it makes sense. I think it's a good setup and good setup for the rest of our conversation. Todd, let's move into some of the special tools that Cisco offers. It really helps those organizations out there, IT, manage the compute, the network, the storage resources in their data centers, again, no matter kind of where they're located.
Yeah, so Cisco recently released a new offering, if you will, called UCS Central. UCS Central takes UCSM, which is the centralized management console for Cisco UCS, and it applies it globally. So a lot of the times we have SMB companies, not necessarily enterprises any longer, that have different offices throughout the world. And it becomes very, very hard to manage these offices, not only because of time zones, but perhaps because of knowledge bases and language barriers. So what it allows us to do is have any central office, you know, where the most talented IT person is, or the server administrator, if you will, lives. And now he has direct tie-in to any one of the global data centers that are dispersed throughout the world, again, under that same single pane of glass that he's already been managing his existing Cisco UCS infrastructure from. Now it has all the resources available to it with service profiles and with all the other things that Cisco's done to, again, containerize these hardware resources. He can do all of that from a single pane of glass from anywhere in the world using UCS Central. So this is a big step forward for Cisco, and I think just for servers in general, honestly, to allow unification globally of hardware resources for a single company that has presence elsewhere that wasn't very easily managed before and most likely required an additional IT department.
Let me do this, Todd. If I'm hearing correctly and listening to the story correctly, it sounds like Cisco UCS can really manage that mix of server hardware that a lot of folks find in their data centers. You've got a mix of blades, you know, over in this area. You've got some rack mount servers over here. It sounds like, and you brought up the single pane of glass idea before, Cisco UCS can manage that whole mix, that type of environment that most people find in their data centers these days. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And even more so now with the release of the 2.1 firmware for the fabric interconnects, which is where UCSM actually lives inside of those top of rack switches, basically. It now allows for single wire management of Cisco rack mounted servers via the connection to a Nexus 2000 series switch, which are extremely affordable switches with very large port density. So I can have, let's say, 24 ports of 10 gig Ethernet for $3,000 or $4,000 now, and I can attach as many rack mount servers as I want, you know, given port counts, to those Nexus 2000 switches, which are directly tied via a single wire into the top of rack fabric interconnects, which were traditionally used for managing blades. So now I can have a blade environment, which of course will be handling my massive VMs or anything else that I wanted to apply to blades. But if I'm manufacturing, or if I'm using PAC systems, or any other form of application that requires some kind of a proprietary hardware entity that's available typically only via some kind of a PCI expansion card, or be it a Brook Trout board, or again, a PAC server, things like that, now I can have those rack mount servers, which were always handled as individual pools and individual management entities, under that same single pane of glass. Be it locally, as it has been before UCS Central, or globally now, as it is now with UCS Central, I can integrate racks and blades into the same single pane of glass. So the story really just continues to be that Cisco is virtualizing every part of our data center life, whereas legacy manufacturers are still trying to concentrate on some idea of convergence, but really doing it in very segmented ways. So perhaps I can converge some form of blades over here, and I can converge some form of racks over here. But no one has truly come up with, other than Cisco, a single pane of glass that I can do globally, that I can mix all of my blades and all of my racks, and I can have one guy managing the entire system, be it 20 blades and 3 racks or 200 blades and 100 racks, no matter where they're dispersed.
Yeah, bringing simplicity into IT, which is something all the IT folks I talk to on a regular basis are just begging for and looking for as they're evaluating technologies. Also, a lot of these IT folks, Todd, I talk to, they've been dabbling in the cloud. They've been getting services from external cloud providers. Sounds like a unified computing system could be that type of technology that can allow those individuals that are looking to build their own private cloud within their own data center to provide those types of services to their lines of business. UCS seems to be that stepping point where people can really launch off and start doing that type of work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, specifically speaking towards public clouds, there's usually two reasons that I see companies starting to at least flirt with the idea of hosting something out of a public cloud. It's either simplicity, because they don't have the time to manage that or the manpower to manage that, so it actually becomes a cheaper alternative than increasing perhaps headcount or server count inside of their own data center. And then there's also redundancy. So companies that are looking for some form of DR, be it full scale or just small scale, but basically getting their data somewhere else becomes one of the reasons they'll look public. Cisco can address both of those things in different ways, but still keep it local. From a simplicity standpoint, obviously I have a single pane of glass. So right away, no matter what, I have simplified how I manage my infrastructure. And now that I can have blades and racks, and again, global, under the same single pane of glass, the idea of just hosting some things sometimes in a public cloud can to a degree be negated, because now I can do it most likely simpler than I could do it if I was working with an outside public cloud company. From a redundancy standpoint, because of service profiles, and service profiles, just in a nutshell, are all of those physical attributes that are applied to legacy hardware like BIOS and firmware and MAC addresses and everything like that that comes out of the box that you need the Excel file for, all of those are gone now. So with service profiles, I can actually set up hot blades or hot rack mount servers and actually have them living as standby entities inside of my environment. So if I have a failure at a blade level or even at a rack level, and I have an extra hot something, be it rack or blade, within 90 seconds, literally 90 seconds, I can take the server that died, all of its attributes, all of its characteristics, and apply it to any other entity inside of my data center and have it up and running. And just simply vMotion VMs over there or move things over, distribute my load, et cetera. And I'm up and running in 90 seconds. You can't even pick up the phone and call your reseller, your PC connection, hopefully, inside of 90 seconds. Just really made it possible for companies to truly take control of the way they want to handle their cloud. Public has its benefits. It absolutely does. And you know, I'm certainly a fan of it. Private, however, allows you to control your own destiny to a degree. And basically, the onus still lies on your company. So you can build it the way you want it, spend as little or as much. But we always have to pay attention to management costs. And Cisco absolutely plays to that overall ROI or TCO of a project. When you look at the time that this could save and the additional manpower that this could perhaps prevent, Cisco UCS coupled with UCSM and now UCS Central makes an amazing amount of sense for the large company, obviously, but also for the small companies now, which have been more timid, I guess, with blade environments just due to the overall spend that needed to be had for blades. And maybe those that have proprietary applications, manufacturing specifically, you know, what did I do with my serial printers before this? Well, now you can have your serial printers because you can have a serial card inside of a rack mount server, but you're still managing it under the same window.
Hey, Todd, before I let you go, I want to go a little techie here. I know that Cisco uses the Intel Xeon processors within the UCS portfolio. The use of those processors, what does that really bring to the table for, you know, virtualization, for cloud computing? What can you share with us there?
I think it brings really consistency of the portfolio from Cisco's standpoint, and then simplicity of choice for the end user. You know, when you try to mix processors in a virtualized world, some things can go poorly by having a multiprocessor environment. And this has happened in the past, and it still continues to happen for companies that maybe had data sets that required a lower level of CPU, and they would use X for their processors. But then you had their higher level applications, and maybe they would use Y. When they were trying to use these servers in a virtualized world, they had competing manufacturers for their processors. So they found that we had to pick one or the other to make this easier on us. Because virtualization is all about simplicity, and ultimately UCS has become all about simplicity as well, I think Cisco's standpoint really was to go with the market leader, who is, of course, Intel, who has proven that their consolidation ratios per processor or per core have been superior to the competitive processors out there. So I really think that by partnering with Intel, Cisco's really tried to focus on the ultimate best of breed. So we have the best of breed for blade servers and rack servers, you know, going into the virtualized world, if you will. And the logical choice for that was using Intel, which is certainly the market leader in all processor categories as far as enterprise-level processing goes.
Hey, Todd, with that, we'll wrap things up. As always, lots of good information. I'm going to give some follow-up and contact info in just a second. But before that, the big thank you, sir, for being with me again.
Thank you, James. I appreciate it.
And for all of you listening, if you do want to hear the first part of our conversation where we discussed issues like cloud security, then again, check out part one of this podcast series. And if you're interested in learning more about Cisco UCS solutions powered by intelligent Intel Xeon processors, turn to the PC Connection family of companies, a Cisco Gold partner. You can contact your account manager today to learn more about starting your next IT project with an assessment and engaging their on-staff experts. You're also encouraged to visit pcconnection.com or call 1-800-800-0014 to get more information. If you do want to send us an email, we are happy to receive that. Connect@pcconnection.com. I'm James Hilliard. That's going to wrap up this installment of Connection Point.